Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 6:34 a.m. and this is March 23rd. I'm recording earlier than normal today because I'm jumping on a plane and I've got a meeting immediately afterwards. So rather than waiting, and my flight has been delayed, so I thought that I would get the audio out to you now rather than waiting until hours after the close. So when we look at 10-year treasuries, it looks like we have a bit of a catch-22. So treasury yields are starting to ease back, although certainly not in a dynamic fashion. So this is still an uptrend, and there is still a succession of ranges one above another. And 1.6% is probably a logical area for resistance here. So we have not yet got confirmation that we have more than short-term steadying in the region of the psychological 1.75% area. But part of the reason why bond yields are a bit tighter in here today is because of oil. Oil prices are starting to moderate, having really done spectacularly well from November onwards. Going from under $40 to $70 in such a short period of time is really quite a spectacular move for a major commodity. And now it is looking like we're going to see some at least consolidation and potentially reversion towards the mean. And this is a reflection of a lower demand outlook by all accounts. So lower demand for oil during a global reflation is not especially encouraging in terms of the expectations for additional growth. Then we can think about what effect that's likely to have on stock markets. Well, we have two different ways of thinking about it. The first is that the lower growth outlook means that bond yields should start to contract, and that should be beneficial for the growth sector, and the growth sector represents the largest weighting in many indices, so that should be positive. The other way of thinking about it is that the oil price coming back down is also reflective of a tepid global recovery, and that's not good for equities because particularly those that are levered to the reflation. So it is potentially rational for thinking that we may be seeing at least an unwind of this outperformance of the value sector versus the growth sector. Then we have additional issues that are starting to, I think, come to the fore. So the emerging markets ETF has been quite steady, and it's got about a 40% China weighting. Then we can think about, well, 40% China weighting, what exactly does that mean? Well, the largest constituent is Tencent, and Tencent is coming back down. And it's now right in the region of its trend mean. Pinduoduo is also one of the better performing tech companies, but it is also now pulling back towards the region of its trend mean. Then Alibaba has been the subject of a really quite onerous opprobrium being heaped upon it by the Communist Party, so it's underperforming, but it is still holding that sequence of higher reaction lows up from the low at the end of 2018. So we're at an interesting area for a significant number of the largest Chinese tech companies, and most of these are listed overseas, and they're all now right in the region of their respective trend means. So what happens in terms of the Chinese economy is obviously something that many people will be looking at, but it's the willingness of the Chinese Communist Party to allow these large companies to continue to prosper will be the deciding factor in how well they hold the their respective trend means. The CSI 300 is still steadying around this 5,000 level. It's been static here now for 2 weeks. The Chinese sovereign wealth funds are defending this level. So the Communist Party does not want to have an unruly or a disorderly market, but at the same time they are curtailing the activities of some of their most successful tech companies. Then when we think about what is the likelihood of the oil price coming back and what kind of effect is that going to have on emerging markets? Well, it should be beneficial. The largest countries generally are energy importers, and that's particularly true for India. So a lower oil price will help to moderate some of the inflationary pressures, and the Nifty index was certainly in positive territory in here today. We can also think about the outlook for emerging markets against the background of the turmoil in Turkey. The Turkish lira was a little weaker in here today, although not especially in a dynamic manner. The Indonesian index, though, is looking a little tired in here, and having got all the way back up towards the upper side of this long-term range, then we're probably going to see at least some consolidation. But the comfort here is that the rupiah isn't really moving. So we're not seeing a lot of evidence of contagion out of Turkey into some of the other emerging markets. The South African rand, for example, remains quite steady and has been ranging here around the 15 level for the year to date. So there's still the clear potential that we are looking at reflation for the majority of the emerging markets, but it could be delayed, or the pace could be moderated by the continued rise of the coronavirus. And the biotechnology ETF continues to rebound from the region of the trend mean. The reality is that the production of vaccines is accelerating, and as the USA moves towards vaccinating the entire population, or at least as much of the population as is willing to be vaccinated, then there's going to be a lot of vaccines made available to the rest of the world. And then we can think about the emerging markets, where a large number of young people are less affected, but there will still be a clear ambition to inoculate large numbers of people. By the time we are about 6 months from now and into the third quarter, well into the third quarter of 2021, anyone who wants a vaccine will probably have one available, and there will be a gargantuan effort underway internationally to get as many vaccines into people as possible. And that is more likely when we'll see growth activity really pick up. But in between now and then, we're going to see spotty evidence of opening up, and the USA is booming. The UK is well on its way to having the majority of the population inoculated, so it's quite likely that the UK will also boom. And I think that is irrespective of what happens with Brexit. When people have been cooped up for so long, then it's quite likely that they're going to go out and celebrate. And that celebration will manifest itself in a whole slew of different fashions. So the FTSE 250 has probably priced in a good share of that already, and it's right in the region of the peak from back in 2020. Now, there are a large number of indices that are approaching those 2020 peaks. The Eurostox index is also right there in the region of the peak from early 2020, ahead of the pandemic. So a large number of markets all over the world have priced in a return to normal, and or at least they've attempted to price in a return to normal over the course of the last few months, and while also taking account of the extraordinary amount of money that's been printed in between. And as we get towards reflation, it's quite likely that that question of what to do about all that debt is going to become relevant. So the UK is beginning to lay out where they envisage taxes to rise. the Biden administration in the USA is laying out where they think taxes are going to rise. And that is perhaps one of the most easiest to predict challenges for corporations going forward, because corporate taxes will rise. It's corporations were the ones that benefited most from the lockdowns and the pandemic, and it's quite likely that they're going to be asked to pay for the debt that's been taken out to rescue the economy. And that is likely to be a global phenomenon, because it's unlikely that countries are going to pass on the costs to consumers. They tried to do that after the global financial crisis, and it created a populist revolution. And if they try to do it again, well, then there'll be another revolution, and perhaps a bloody one to boot, which would suggest that there is the clear intention to raise some taxes and then inflate the rest away. Then we can think about, what does that mean for gold? Well, gold prices continue to pause here around the $1,700 area, and this is still a downtrend overall. It needs to do better than it has done, and so far the rebound has been relatively modest. So what is it that would initiate a rebound in gold that would be impressive and would convince investors that they need to get in a hurry? And I really think that it's quite clear that investors are waiting for a catalyst in the form of central banks adopting clear and, I think, are emphasizing their determination to control yields. We're not there yet, because we haven't seen stress in the stock markets. But as oil prices come down and as bond yields start to moderate, well, that is going to push back onto the question of a very swift reflation. It is potentially something that could have an effect on the commodities complex, and we can think that there are a large number of instruments are really quite overextended on the upside. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that the CRB index can pull back because of its heavier weighting in oil, whereas the industrial resources will likely hold up better because they are more finely attuned to the growth of renewable energy. And that is, of course, one of the focuses of where the additional taxes will fall, because it's the clear determination of governments to make the corporations pay. And most particularly, the target is for the large energy companies to pay for the new political imperative, which is to become carbon neutral or carbon free economies. Of course, that also means that there will be massive investments in less energy-intensive industries like solar, like wind, and they have been pulling back in line with the most levered portions of the market. If bond yields continue to contract, then that should act as support. We've certainly seen that some of the largest technology companies, in line with those Chinese companies, are in the region of their respective trend means. So this is a logical area where they should bounce. Obviously, if oil prices move into a more aggressive period of contraction, then that is likely to stoke some risk-off environment. So we have to, I think, be wary of being overly bullish, and it does look like we're going to see more of the overextensions, whether on the upside or the downside, going to be unwound over the near term. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.